Have your Bibles, you can turn to the book of Genesis, chapter number 45, and beginning in verse number 24 tonight. It's all about Him. Amen. It's not about us. It's not about. It's not even about the church tonight, but it's about the Lord Jesus Christ, Amen. Who loved us and gave Himself for us. So if you would stand with me tonight, you that are able, Genesis chapter number 45, and beginning in verse number 24 tonight, there the word of God said, "So he sent his brethren away, and they departed, and he said unto them, See that you fall not out by the way.
Yeah.
And they went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father. And told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived, and Israel said, It is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive, and I will go and see him before I die." Father, God, as we do come before the throne of grace, once again tonight we thank you, Lord, God, for that grace and that mercy. Lord, you know our concerns tonight. God, fearful that we might follow after the flesh rather than seeking the counsel of God in your direction, I pray tonight, Father, that God, you'd help us to be sensitive to the voice of God and follow your will in everything. And God, I pray tonight that we might be able to be a help to these that have come this way. Father, we thank you and we praise you, for it's in Jesus' dear name we do pray. Amen. Be seated tonight. Now, in our text, as we read about the fact that Joseph is sent for his father Jacob to come from Canaan into the land of Egypt, and that in the Word of God we know that Joseph is a beautiful type or picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps one of the best pictures or greatest pictures there are concerning Christ. But we know that Joseph has been in Egypt, that his brothers, in their jealousy and in their envy, that they sold him to the Ishmaelites, who took him down into Egypt and sold him into slavery there, that he was the servant in the house of Potiphar, and that man's wife also tried to seduce him, and then when he refused to go along, Then she falsely accused him, and that he ended up in the prison. But that everywhere that he was, that God was with him, and he leaned upon God. And that while he's in the prison, there is the butler and the baker, that each of them have that dream, and he interprets their dreams for them. And that when the butler is brought back to Pharaoh's house, after about 2 years, that Pharaoh has the dream, and Joseph is brought out, and he interprets the dream of the Pharaoh. And because of that, he is exalted to that high position of the prime minister of the land of Egypt in preparation for that famine that is about to come. So now we find that the famine has come, and that Jacob has sent those brothers down to Egypt, and that to get bread for the family. And they go the first time, and Jacob recognizes them but doesn't let them know who he is. And then on his second journey down, or their second time down into Egypt, that he reveals himself to his brothers. And then, as the story goes in our text tonight, that reading, that the Pharaoh gives the brothers some wagons and some provisions for them to go back into Canaan and bring their families as well as Jacob down into the land of Egypt. And the instruction is given to them in verse number 24, see that you fall not out by the way. And that's good instruction for all of us in this hour. But I want you to notice that also in these other verses that we've read, that the Bible calls him Jacob, and that is his natural name, or that is his name according to the first birth, if you will. Listen, but in verse number 28, the Bible says, and Israel said, that is his covenant name. And that Jacob hears that Joseph is still alive down in the land of Egypt. But verse number 26 says, and they told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. Now, isn't that just like us tonight? Listen, that we find it hard to believe sometimes the good news of what God has done and what God is doing. But whether you and I believe it or not tonight, thank God, I'm glad that God is still a God of his word. I'm thankful tonight, listen, that he is still God. Listen, thank God, the Bible said in Luke chapter 24 in verse number 11, and their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. So again, we see how that Jacob's heart fainted within him, and that he did not believe the report that was given to him. But then the Bible said that when he saw the wagons, Israel said, it is enough. So tonight, listen, there's some times that things seem hopeless, that you and I may look at the circumstances and the things that are taking place even in our lives, and it seems that there is no hope. It may appear that everything is falling apart, but listen, I want to preach on this thought tonight, that God is enough. It doesn't matter what you and I are dealing with. It does not matter the circumstances of our life. Thank God, I'm glad there is no limit to what God can do. That everything that God was able to do, God can still do. Thank God, I'm glad that he has not diminished in his power. That even though that he is the Ancient of Days, that he has not grown old and he has not gotten feeble. But thank God, we are serving the God of glory. And that whatever comes along, that God is enough. Listen, thank God, the cupboards may be bare, the bill collectors may be calling the house, listen, the doctors may have bad news, but I want to say to you tonight that God is still enough. I've read too many stories in this Bible where the things seem like they were falling apart, where it looked as if that nothing good was ever going to happen, but God was enough. So you've come a long way too late in this thing to convince me that God can't do it. Listen, I know that with men these things are impossible, but with God nothing shall be impossible. God is enough. Let me give you some situations and we'll be done. This may go 5 minutes, it may go an hour and 5 minutes, but I'm just going to have me a time in the Lord, because I'm glad tonight that God is enough. I say that God's enough when in so when uncertainties surround us. Notice again in verse 26, and they told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. There was some uncertainty surrounding what Jacob was hearing. And that word uncertainty means to be insecure, to not be positively known. It means to have a lack of assurance. You understand tonight, and I don't have to tell you, that there's a lot of uncertainties in our life today. We have uncertainties about our home, uncertainties about our health, maybe even uncertainties about our heart. But thank God, I'm glad that when we're facing the uncertainties, listen, some of you may be in this place tonight. Have your homes in trouble, your children in trouble. Listen, maybe you got that bad report from the doctor. Listen, I say that God is enough. You may not know how God's going to work it out, and it may not happen the way you think it would, but I'm going to tell you, thank God, that God is enough, and that God cannot. It's not necessarily that he will not, but I say tonight that God cannot fail. God cannot come short. God cannot make a mistake. Thank God when it seems as if the bottom has fell out and the top has fallen in and you don't know what to do and you don't know which way to turn. Hey, I want you to know tonight that God is enough. That God is still sitting on his throne in glory. And thank God he still has all power. And God can still do all things. And that when the uncertainties arrive, that God is enough.
Amen.
Amen. My. Don't you think about John the Baptist when he's down there in the prison? And he called them disciples. He said, hey, fellas. He said, I need you to go talk to Jesus and ask him if he's the one. Or should we look for another?
Uh-huh.
That sounds like some uncertainty to me in the words of John the Baptist. We're talking about the same one that had been down there in that river, had been baptizing them folks, that one that had been preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Listen, he's the one that said, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. But now John the Baptist finds himself in the prison. Listen, he gets discouraged. Oh yeah, he's human like the rest of us. There's some uncertainty going on in his life. And he sent them disciples down and said, art thou he that should come? Or should we look another? Look for another. Jesus said, you go tell John the Baptist. Thank God the deaf hear, the lame walk, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. You know what he was saying? He was reminded John the Baptist that God is enough. Hey, thank God. If you find yourself in the prison, God is enough. Over there in Matthew chapter 17, there's a man that's got a child. I believe it's a son. But he's got this child, and he brings him to the Lord.
Yeah.
And he says, I brought him to the disciples, but the disciples couldn't do anything about it. He said, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's a lunatic, and he's sore vexed, for oftentimes he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to the disciples, and they couldn't cure him. Listen, when Jesus rebuked the devil, I'm not reading all that, but he said, when Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Can I tell you another one of them gospels says that Jesus said, how long ago did this happen? He said, since he was a child. Listen, Listen, you know what was taking place in the meantime? There was some uncertainty in the mind of that father. I mean, listen, he had to rescue him from the fire, and he had to rescue him from the water. You know what he was doing? He was trying to keep his son out of the fire until Jesus came along. Thank God, you know what you and I need to do? There's some uncertainties maybe about our children and our grandchildren, but we need to be keeping them out of the fire until the Lord Jesus comes along.
Reach on, brother. Watch good.
We've got a man in our church. He's got an 11-year-old daughter. He's got two grown children, but he's got an 11-year-old daughter. And I see his wife once a year.
Yeah.
And that'll be next Sunday morning for the sunrise service.
All right.
Listen, she's raised Catholic.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, from the time that that little girl was born, this 11-year-old daughter was born, I remember when he carried her in one of them carriers and had the diaper bag on his shoulder. And that daddy, now we see a lot of mamas doing that, but I'm talking about a daddy.
Yeah.
That carried that little baby in that diaper bag and brought that little girl to church. When she got old enough to go down into Sunday school and down into vacation Bible school, she was afraid to go down by herself. That daddy would get up and he would go downstairs and he would sit with that child through those services. Now she'll go by herself. But you know what's been happening? Thank God for all these 11 years that daddy has been trying to keep that little girl out of the fire until the day that God brings her up, until the day that Jesus comes along and saves her by his grace. That daddy's got some uncertainty, but he knows that God is enough.
Hallelujah, preacher.
God's enough in our uncertainties. But I say tonight that God is also enough when our friends forsake us.
Amen.
God's enough when he's all you've got, that's all you need. It ain't I need God, then I need this one, I need that one, I need them. Oh no. All you and I need in this world is God. I'm glad that he will sustain us. 2 Timothy 4:10, Paul said that Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and departed unto Thessalonica, and Cretans to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Verse 16, he said, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it not be laid to their charge, notwithstanding the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Chapter 1, verse 15, this thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me. I mean, listen, Paul had to stand alone, as far as men are concerned, but where everybody else had forsaken him, God stood with him. You know tonight that when you get saved by the grace of God, you won't have to worry about your friends dropping your friends. Your friends will drop you. But can I say to you tonight that sometimes when you're living for God, that even your friends, and I'm talking about church friends, that sometimes even your friends are going to forsake you. But I'm glad that the Bible said there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I'm glad that I've got one that when I lay down my head at night, hey, thank God there may not be anybody else around. Nobody else knows it. But thank God, I'm glad I've got a friend. Thank God that in the darkness somewhere, I may not be able to seem. But I've got his word on it. I thank God he is in the midst. I thank God, I'm glad he said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. But I'll go with you all the way, even to the end of the world. I'm saying when everybody else turns their back on you, God is enough. Hallelujah. You know tonight that living for God in this hour is not a popular thing. Especially if you have convictions.
Yes, sir.
And especially if you have biblical standards.
Uh-huh.
Because people won't understand. And even our friends begin to pull away.
Uh-huh.
But let me say this to you, especially you young folks. Listen, you let them pull away. You just stay with God. You just keep walking with God. I mean, when you get serious about the things of God, there'll be others that think you've lost your mind. Listen, I say shout on. I say praise God anyway. Because even in that hour, God is enough.
He's enough.
Don't try to fit into this world to be acceptable.
Amen.
And to be popular. Joseph's a good example of that.
Yes, he is.
I mean, listen, when he got sold down into Potiphar's house, his wife tried to seduce him. He fled, just like Paul said, years later. Flee fornication. I mean, he loved God more than he loved himself. God help us tonight. To love God more than we love ourselves. I say, listen, that when friends forsake us, that God is enough.
He's enough, preacher.
But then let me say this,
yeah,
that God is enough when the winds begin to beset you round about. Over there in Mark chapter 6, down about verse number 45, Jesus told them to get in that little ship, that ship, and go to the other side. Bible said when he had sent them, he departed and went into that mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land, and he saw them toiling and rowing. For the wind was contrary unto them, and about the fourth watch of the night he came unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. Listen, and you understand tonight that the popular message of this day is that if you get saved, that all your troubles are over. Listen, you ought to ask Apostle Paul about that. You ought to ask John about that. You ought to ask Jeremiah about that. You ought to ask Peter about that. Ask me about it. I'll tell you. Thank God. Listen, being saved didn't save me from troubles. But I'll tell you what it did do. Hey, thank God it gave me somebody on my side. Thank God being saved gives me a peace that I'm able to lay my head down on my pillow at night and know that God is enough. That when it seems rough and rowing and the way gets difficult and the winds are blowing against us, I say God's enough. We have to deal with the winds of compromise. We have to deal with the winds of controversy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this wind and that wind and every wind you can imagine. But I'm glad that God's enough. Here they are, these disciples out in the middle of that lake. And them winds begin to rise up. He saw them toiling in the rowing. You know, they didn't see him.
No.
But he saw them.
I
like what Brother Mark Stroud said. He said he may be hidden, but he's not hiding. Hey,
that's good.
There's been times in my life that I had no idea where God was. There's been times when the rowing has been difficult and I thought the boat was going to capsize and I was going to drown out there in that lake. But I'm glad, thank God, that God was enough and that I stand here tonight, not because I'm anything, but because God is everything.
Hallelujah, preacher.
What a Savior.
I
mean, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Sweetest name I know. I mean, thank God, just whisper the name. Oh, my. I'm telling you, when the winds begin to blow, that you and I that are saved by the grace of God, there's an enemy that seeks our destruction. And he's going to roar. I read something about them lions. Of course, the word of God said over there, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion and goeth about seeking whom he may devour. That roar of that lion is so powerful that it can raise a cloud of dust. Yeah. That the roar of that lion is so powerful and so loud that it can be heard at great distances. Can you imagine the force behind that roar? But listen, when he's a roaring, he can't do nothing else. I thank God. And beside all of that, I know the lion tamer. I thank God. Isn't that what happened in the book of Daniel? When that king threw him down there in that den of lions, thank God he just fluffed him up and used him for a pillar, because the lion tamer was on the scene. Thank God, I'm glad that when the winds begin to blow, thank God, God is enough.
Hallelujah.
And I read and I'm sure you've seen the circus, been to the circus, seen the lion tamers. They got that whip and they got that chair, got them four legs. You ever wondered why they use that chair with the four legs? Because it keeps that lion confused. Because if he just went in there with a stick, that lion would focus on that stick and he'd destroy the one holding the stick. But as long as he goes in there with that chair and he's got them four legs, he don't know which one of them pay attention to. Thank God, I'm glad I've got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I'm saying that God is enough. And the lion is no match. Thank God, the serpent is no match. The dragon is no match. They are no match for my God, because God is enough. Hallelujah. Thank God. Persecution may arise, the message may not be well received, but God's enough. What was it Peter said over there in 1 Peter 4? Brethren, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. But then next verse he said, but rejoice. What about that? He's saying rejoice when the trials come.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a lot of us forgot to get that message.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, we ought to be rejoicing in our trials. Why? Because God is still enough in the midst of the trials. That he's still God. And it's still good to be saved, isn't it? Thank God. Listen, God's enough when the uncertainties surround. God's enough when our friends forsake us. God is enough when the winds beset us. But I want to say tonight that God's enough when you fall into sin. Luke 15 and 20, that prodigal son, he went to his daddy and said, give me. And the father gave him. And he went out and ended up in that far country and ended up in that hog pen. The Bible said he came to himself. And he said, I'll arise and go to my father's house. Say to my father, I've sinned against heaven before thee, and no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of the hired servants. But then verse 20 said, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, ran and fell on his neck, and he kissed him. I'm saying tonight that when you fall into sin, that God is enough.
Amen.
You understand that this young man was a son when he was at home. He was a son when he was in the hog pen.
Yeah,
and he was a son when he came back home.
Yes, he was.
You understand tonight that when he came back home, that the father didn't rebuke him. The father didn't chew him out. The father didn't take him out behind the woodshed. The father knew that he'd already been through enough. And the father loved him, and the father knew he had learned his lesson, and the father received him, and the father ran and fell on his neck, and he kissed him. Thank God, and he restored him his sonship. God's enough when me and you sin. I'm not in any way condoning sin. I'm not in any way saying that it's all right with me, you or God. But I'm saying tonight that there is a God of in heaven that is full of grace and full of mercy.
Yes.
And I say tonight that the blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary was enough for our past sins, our present sins, and our future sin. That the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. That when you and I come before God with a broken heart and a contrite spirit and we confess our sin, I thank God He is able and just to forgive us of all sin and cleanse us of unrighteousness. I say tonight that when we sin, that God is enough.
Boy, it's good, preacher.
My. Thank God. Love covers a multitude of sin. Adam and Eve rebelled in the garden. They tried to cover themselves with them fig leaves, but eventually it was going to rot and fall away, and the nakedness was still there. But God in grace, He provided the coats of skins, implying the shedding of the blood. And even with the shedding of the blood and the providing of the coats of skin, that the Bible said that He expelled them from the garden and that He put that flaming sword to guard the way of the east. Can I tell you that was grace? That was grace when God put that flaming sword there. That was grace that God expelled them from the garden. Because if not, then in their sinful condition and their fallen state, then they had access to the tree of life. But God being merciful and God being graceful expelled them from that garden and put that flaming sword. Thank God that there could be a possibility. Thank God that their sin could be dealt with and they could have life once again. I'm glad He didn't leave me where He found me. He should have, but I'm glad He didn't. That where sin did abound, grace did much more abound.
Much more.
I heard somebody put it this way, that you can't out-sin the grace of God. That's not an advertisement for sin. That's not an endorsement for sin. But I do say this tonight, that if you sin, that the blood is enough.
It's enough.
I say tonight, if you're in sin, if you have sinned, that the blood is enough. The grace of God, grace is enough, and God is enough.
Yes, sir, boy, that's good.
I dare say tonight that if it wasn't, there'd be a lot of us in trouble tonight. I'm talking about saved folks.
Yes, sir, preacher.
There'd be a lot of us in trouble tonight.
Yeah.
If God wasn't enough when
that's
we
right.
had sinned.
That's right.
I got saved when I was 9 years old.
Wow.
Listen, got saved when I was 9. Old-fashioned revival meeting. My first memories of anything to do with the Lord was standing behind my mother, and she's in a rocking chair, and I'm brushing her hair. I'm probably 4 or 5 years old brushing her hair, and she's singing out of the old hymn book. We went to church. We lived in a different place. We came back home, went to church around old Barrow Waller. Old revival meeting, the power of God. That was them days when the daddies, them husbands, would stay outside.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they take their wives and their children to church. Some of you remember that. They take them husbands would take their families to church, and then they'd gather outside in the parking lot and they'd sit out there and talk till church was over.
Mm-hmm.
Many churches, the one that I got saved in, they had a loudspeaker. They figured if they was going to gather out yonder in the parking lot, they was going to let them hear the meeting. Thank God it got on in that revival. I mean, the power of God come 9 years old, and it terrified me the first time God spoke to me, and I ran out the door. Wow. I'm being honest, got out there, and my dad caught me running. And he said, "What's the matter with you?" I said, "I don't know." I don't know what's going on, but can I tell you this? I don't know what night that is, that was, but after that, my dad started going in the church, and thank God on Sunday night, March the 21st, 1971, my dad got up and he went and got saved. My brother came a short time later and he got saved. I thank God, and it wasn't but a few minutes later I came and got saved. I'm glad that there is power in the blood. I'm glad that God is enough. I'm glad that what God could do, God can still do. That God can still save the multitudes. God can still save them that will come to Him by Christ Jesus.
Amen.
When we fall into sin, God is enough. God help us that we not fall into sin. I was thinking about this today. You understand the purpose of church discipline. I'm not pastoring here. You got a wonderful pastor, but it goes with the thought.
Amen.
That church discipline, the aim of church discipline is not to ridicule or embarrass or to destroy the one that is being disciplined.
You're right, preacher.
The aim of church discipline is to renew them.
Renew them.
Is to get them right with God.
Yeah.
And when you fall into sin, God is enough. Isn't it amazing? I'm going to tell this. I've got some folks here and they know. We've got a young lady. Matter of fact, I got the phone call on the way home last night. She had the baby yesterday and had trouble. I got the phone call last night. I've been in contact with them today. A young lady got away from God. 17 years old. She just had a baby out of wedlock. I knew something was wrong. The family come to me and they told me, they said, we're not trying to hide this. We haven't been trying to hide this. We've just been waiting till we get everything, you know, find out for sure and all this. And we sat down and the daddy caught me in the back. He said, we need to talk to you. I said, I already know. Holy Ghost already told me.
Mm-hmm.
We went up there and mama started talking. Daddy started talking and mama said it's a mistake. And when it came my turn to talk, I looked at the young lady. I said, I want to tell you something. I said, I am not your enemy.
Right,
and I am
true.
Not against you.
True.
I said, but we're not going to water this down. I said, this is sin. It's not a mistake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I told her what needed to be done, what she is going to have to do.
Mm-hmm.
I said, until you get right with God and you make the public confession, because it is going to be a public sin.
Mm-hmm.
I said, until that time, don't you miss. I said, you stay on your seat in the church. Don't you stay home. I said, but until you get right with God, I said, you can't take part in anything.
Mm-hmm.
No more singing, no more anything like that.
Amen.
Took about a month. Boy, we had one of them old-timey meetings. I believe it was on a Sunday morning.
Amen.
There's folks in the altar. There's folks shouting. I standing over here on the side where I sat anyway. And while folks was a-singing, and she walked up to me and she said, can I talk to the church? She'd already been in the altar a couple of times. She said, can I? I said, yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you go ahead and you tell the church. She confessed that sin. She confessed what it was as sin, told the church she was sorry. She apologized to God. I had told her, I said, listen, you don't get up because I tell you to. I said, when you've got this worked out with God and you've got it under the blood, I said, then you tell the church. You make it right with the church. It's not, I said, and this may take a while. I said, God may let this linger in your soul till you find or feel the pain of sin. And it took about 6 weeks or so after that. What I'm saying is, her life was broken, but she confessed. And she realized that when she had broken, she was broken in pieces, that God is enough.
He's enough.
I don't know where we get this mentality that when folks sin and they're destructive, I don't know where we get this mentality that we've got to put them down and keep them down.
Oh, no.
Listen. If God is enough, and if God can forgive, then God help us to have the same spirit and the same attitude, because God is enough. life. And we wouldn't want folks treating us the way we treat others. I'm saying tonight that when we have sinned, that God is enough. Let me say this about our church. When she got up and confessed, I guess most of them knew it anyway, when she got up and confessed and asked the church surrounded her.
That's right.
And showed her love.
That's right. Preacher.
That's the way it ought to be.
That's the way it ought to be.
That's the way. When we have sin, when we fall into sin, God is enough. Well, I've killed that out. All right, one more tonight. We know that God is enough when we're just steps away from hell.
Oh, boy.
Luke chapter 23, verse 42.
Oh, Lord.
Jesus on the cross, those thieves on either side of him. And the one said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. I say tonight that God is enough when you're steps away from hell. Wouldn't we love to see them all get saved the moment they come to the age of accountability? But it doesn't happen. And I'm not one of these. I heard somebody talk about some older gentleman got saved and they were disappointed because they didn't get saved when they were little and wasted all that life. I mean, that would have been wonderful, but thank God anybody we can get out of hell, I'm going to rejoice.
Amen.
I say that when you find yourself steps from hell, that God is enough.
Amen.
That the blood is sufficient. That it is not over till God says it's over. Acts 16 and 30, that jailer said, Sirs, reckon how close he was to hell.
Mm-hmm.
Lost without God. He was about to take his own life.
Yeah, he was.
And he said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Listen, God's enough whether you got your whole life in front of you or you've got one foot in the grave. God is enough. Not only is God enough, but God is the only one that can save
only
you.
Only one.
Only way. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It is Jesus Christ. God is enough. Father,